Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Time now to turn our attention to technology and transport.
Yeah, interesting one. So what if I told you that there could be tech that would detect overcrowding on an MRT train?
Well, it doesn't come as a surprise to me, but I am curious as to how you would be able to detect this. I mean, what, like a weighing machine on tracks?
I like your questions. And, you know, I used to travel on the London Underground. I can tell you overcrowding in there is pretty
hideous.
How
to detect? Just look.
Yeah, or have, you know, the door hit your head. That was often how you found out just how bad it was. Anyway, Tullers and SBS Transit here in Singapore are tapping on technology to help make commuting on public transport safer as we all learn to live with the pandemic. So how does this collaboration work?
Well, Tullers and SBS Transit, they're leveraging on SBS Transit's CCTV networks in its train systems, all right? We see a lot of them whenever you're traveling on the train, right? And they're also going to leverage on the live ticketing data together with Tullers' strengths in video analytics, AI, cybersecurity, so that you can avoid overcrowding on trains.
That is a lot of tech.
Yeah.
Okay, it was co-conceptualized this year as a result of an MOU between Tullers and SBS Transit to cooperate on future digital technologies, and it'll be ready for trial in the first quarter of next year, 2021.
So this innovation is a result of the ecosystem created by the Digital Factory. That's an agile working environment whose goal is to drive digital transformation in the technology sector.
And overcrowding is usually measured by weighing the trains.
Hey, I was right.
Right. So how will this technology work for the better?
Going to be fun. Kevin Chow, who is Country Director and Chief Executive of Tullers in Singapore, is on the line with us. Kevin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Good morning, Manisha. I'm good. Thank you.
So quite excellent. Tullers, you guys established in Singapore since 1973. You've grown from strength to strength. Today, you're involved in the primary businesses of aerospace, including air traffic management, defense and security, ground transportation, as well as digital identity and security. Apart from this SBS one, right, what other major projects has Tullers been involved in, especially in helping Singapore grow?
Thanks very much, Elliot. Good question. Tullers is a global technology company. We are headquartered in France, but we're present in 68 countries worldwide, employing about 80,000 people across the globe. As you mentioned, we serve five key sectors: aero sector, space, ground transportation, digital identity and security, and defense and security. In Singapore, we've had the privilege of being here for 47 years, and we employ about 2,000 people in the country. Just some examples of the mission-critical systems that we supply here in Singapore. Signaling for the north-south and east-west lines, the air traffic management system at Changi, and the communications and supervision systems for the northeast line.
So it's all those things that we basically take for granted, but a lot of people rely on every day. Speaking of which, obviously you have quite an important footprint here in Singapore, but what about your footprint in the Asia Pacific? Has that grown over the years, and how has Singapore helped with that?
That's a good question, Manisha. The Asia Pacific region is very important for us. In fact, the Southeast Asia headquarters is based in Singapore. And Singapore is like the technology hub where expertise is exported, can have very skilled people from here traveling to different countries to help with mission-critical projects. For example, in Taiwan, we are helping with three projects in different cities to help get their tramway system up and running.
Okay. Kevin, you know, when you have a reputation of being a technological hub, you're expected that technology will be the solution to everything. Which brings me to the question, COVID-19 and Tullers, I mean, how has Tullers systems helped combat or manage this pandemic?
Good question, Elliot. I think if you think about it, people tend to turn towards technology and say it might be the cure-all. But actually, we tend to focus on solving the problem. For example, in this process with SBS Transit, what we focus on in the first step was really the co-innovation. When we looked at what to do with SBS Transit, we use design thinking and we focus on getting to know their day-to-day operations and pain points. So, you know, in that process, it's interesting because beyond kind of looking at what technology we can push, you know, which is secondary, we really look at the problem from different angles. We call them personas. You know, we look at different types of commuters, you know, younger commuters, older commuters, commuters of all shapes and sizes, and we look at the staff. We look at the chief controller of the line. We look at the station manager. We look at the train scheduler. And then we look at all their perspectives, and we define a solution to the key problem. Only then do we get to the second stage, where we bring those ideas and we code it in our Thales Digital Factory, where we use small, what we call agile teams. These are small 8-man teams. You know, these are teams that are self-sufficient, write skills and work very fast to code the software in sprints of 2 weeks. So in the context of COVID, we were looking with SBST to see how we can detect crowding. And the technology works. We're looking forward to rolling it out in trial mode from January next year.
I have to say, the next time I take a train, I'm going to have an entirely different and more appreciative perspective. You have equipped 50% of Singapore MRT lines with ticketing solutions and completely resignaled SMRT's oldest MRT lines. So you're very ingrained in this here, just as you were explaining. Let's talk then about how you manage overcrowding. And I was quite blown away to know that it was by weight before that this was done, but you've got brand new tech and you're going to go at this in a very different way.
That's right. That's right, Manisha. You see, the technology currently is really in the trains. It's kind of like a weighing machine. So you can imagine not everyone has the same weight. So it's difficult to predict crowding accurately because you have to assume an average weight to come up with the number of people that you think is in the train. The Thales technology counts the number of people visually using the feeds from the closed-circuit TV cameras. And what we do is, you know, like the stick man you draw on paper when you play hangman?
Mm-hmm.
Our technology allows the computer to see stick men and count the number of stick men, if you will. And so it's a lot more accurate than trying to guess the number of people by the weight of the train. So this information about number of people can then tell you whether a station or maybe a train is overcrowded. And this information can be relayed to passengers like yourself when you travel through the system, or it can be relayed to SBS transit staff where they can take appropriate action, like, for example, funneling people to the places which are less crowded. So what's unique here is really Thales brought our intelligence, the software, to sensors that were already there. So we just need to pipe the footage from the existing cameras, and then we make sense of it.
Right. How long does that take, though, to put all these sensors together and process it into information for SBS Transit?
The process that we undertook with them, we took about 5-6 months to come up with the entire technology. The rollout will take 6 months, but, you know, we want to go one step at a time to make sure that the technology is robust, that the users are familiar with it, because technology that isn't useful. It's just wasted time, wasted money.
Mm. Has SBS indicated what they will do in terms of, like, would they put out a warning that, okay, the next train is overcrowded, or will they just move the train along to the next stop if no one needs to get off? Well, that's a bit hard. Have they indicated what their intentions are?
Yeah, they're looking at a variety of possibilities. Let me put it in two categories.
Okay.
One is what you can do at the station, and the other one is what you can do at the system level, rather at the line level. Let's say if you're running the Northeast Line, you can do something about it at the line level. So at the station level, they can direct people to the right platforms. You know, if the front of the train is very crowded, you direct people to the other parts of the train where it's not so crowded. So you can kind of even out the spacing. At the system level or at the line level, what they can do is they can schedule more trains. They can pump more trains into the network, thereby reducing crowding in the system. So they're looking at all this, how this can fit in their overall what we call concept of operations.
That is really clever.
Yeah,
I was just thinking about that. And especially since I know it was earlier this year, wasn't it? Just after the first round of Circuit Breaker in Phase 1, when the line started opening back up again, this was a big headline about how there should be greater frequency of trains to make sure there was no overcrowding, especially with social distancing.
Yeah, yeah.
With that in mind, has there been increased pressure to make sure that this happens in a timely fashion this year?
You know how we are here in Singapore. We like to be sure, so we like to go one step at a time. We like to be certain that the technology is stable. We like to be certain that the users are familiar with the technology. So I would say, yes, there's certain pressure to get this up and running, but we're taking the necessary steps to make sure that things are okay before this goes live.
Kevin, this is great, especially with the potential of Phase 3 and people going back to work. There are a lot of people who will be having staggered hours next year. And where transportation is concerned, fantastic. But how else can Thales help fight COVID-19? Is there anything that you can reveal to us that's perhaps in the works?
Thanks, Elliot. Well, you know, it's interesting because Thales has a very broad and diverse portfolio of technologies, which brought together in a smart way can really help to fight COVID-19. For example, in the railway sector, like, let's stay in transportation for a while, we can use our facial recognition and thermal sensing technologies to accurately check, let's say at stations, if commuters are wearing their masks and if they're running a fever. I mean, this may seem very simple, but you think about it. I think, in the phase that we're in the country's reopening right now, you know, I've seen people that are forgetting to wear their masks. I mean, inadvertently, nonetheless. You know, for example, my mother is quite elderly, and she went into a bus, and she had inadvertently forgotten her mask. Luckily, the bus captain kind of reminded her, saying, "Auntie, I think you should wear your mask." So I think technologies like these can really help us maintain our vigilance in the wake of COVID-19. So that's one example, okay. Elliot. Another example is in the aviation sector. All of us are dying to travel. I bet you and Manisha too. You know, we're feeling all very stuck on our small island, a beautiful but small island. You know, in the aviation sector, Thales has technologies that will reduce or eliminate touch for the passenger. That's either going to an airport, boarding a plane, or relaxing in an aircraft with the in-flight entertainment. You know, Thales is involved in supplying in-flight entertainment systems to airlines. So what our technology does is you can breeze through an airport using your face as your passport. Think about it, you know, just no touch, walk through. I mean, of course, there are many immigration rules and procedures that need to be worked through in different countries, but the technology is there, and we can do the same thing on board. So you can use your mobile phone, you know, as your remote controller for your in-flight entertainment screen. You can watch all the movies you want to watch. You can speak or communicate with the cabin crew that way. You can order your food. So the whole idea is to reduce touch, but still maintain the communications and the experience.
On that note, and this I warn you, I'm throwing you a little bit of a curveball, but I'm very curious because obviously you have the tech to make this happen if you could. There is this ongoing conversation about how will people travel and how will you know whether or not they've been vaccinated. Is that a conversation that has come up?
Well, it has. I think in all our conversations over coffee, it certainly has. And you know, we are a global company. We're all looking forward to, you know, the economy coming back online, you know, having the exchanges that we used to have. But it certainly has come up. We do believe that as a global technology company, we have a role to play. I mean, we're not in the biomedical space, so we're not going to invent a vaccine. But we're doing our part to bring our technologies, our know-how, to bear in alleviating some of the effects of COVID-19.
But you do make biometric passports, right? So you
and yes, we
you,
do.
Yeah, right. So I'm just wondering about whether or not we'll have passports which can have health information stored on them in the future. Is that a possible reality?
Well, that's something that we should think about, Manisha. I think if you have a global database where you can verify the identity of a person and you can link it to, let's say, a PCR certificate, I think it would be great. Then, you know, the people can travel without the printed PCR cert. Hmm. It's something worth thinking about as we innovate for the future.
But Kevin, to wrap up, I mean, surely it's okay here in Singapore because we've got the technology and we're open to advancing in that area. But in order for global travel to return, this sort of technology has to be consistent worldwide. You're a global company. How hard is that, you know, to make that happen?
Elliot, it is terribly difficult. Every country wants to have their own system, their own rules. And, you know, it's good that different bodies like, you know, IATA, the International Air Travel Association, they're trying to champion, you know, what they call the COVID-19 passport, right, so that people can travel more easily. So I think with the help of these global bodies, associations and global bodies, I think we're going to get to a common space where people can agree to adopt a certain standard. But you're right, it doesn't work if just only one country adopts a certain technology or process. We need it globally adopted. So we're looking forward to that. But the technology is there, I assure you. It's just about working through our man-made rules.
Oh, great conversation. Kevin Chow, who is Country Director and Chief Executive for Thales in Singapore. Kevin, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks a lot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg
or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.